This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
It's Friday, and college baseball is here. Yes, finally, the long wait following Texas's long season last year that ended up in the College World Series in Omaha, Nebraska, is over. The college baseball season begins tonight. The Longhorns will be in action at Lafayette against Louisiana. Yes, it goes by Louisiana now instead of Louisiana Lafayette, the Raging Cajuns. And they'll be raging. Big ballpark. It'll be a great atmosphere. And the Longhorns will, when we get to Saturday, we'll have a result in the book for the 2019 season. I'm Dustin McComas of OrangeBloods.com. You're listening to episode 26 of the Extra Bases podcast on TheYak.com. And we get to talk about, well, we almost get to talk about some actual games, but we get to talk about a baseball season. It is finally here. The media met today with David Pearson and a few Texas players to preview the upcoming season and the trip to Louisiana. Just some kind of final lineup questions and things like that. We'll get to some notes from those conversations. And really, I just want to go rapid fire just with everything that's kind of on my brain. I've been working on a season preview, which you can find at orangeboards.com right now. Just a bunch of thoughts, 36 of them, in fact, a bunch of thoughts, a bunch of notes, a bunch of tidbits, just everything to get you ready for the upcoming season. And I'll try to do my best to go through all of those things here as well. So we'll start with the lineup because that's where most people want to start with. And we've discussed a lot, you know, especially coming out of the alumni game, which I think gave us a great look at what the lineup is probably going to be like. The best educated guess for the lineup, because David Pearce didn't give us one specifically, although he confirmed a lot of spots, and you can kind of, you know, fill in the blanks between the lines. Is that the saying for that? I don't know if that's the saying for that, but you know what I mean. We can fill in those empty spots in the order with a very, very good educated guess. So I think it's going to be Duke Ellis leading off in center. I think it's going to be Eric Kennedy, a freshman, in left. Austin Todd, a junior in right, Zach Zubia hitting in the DH spot, and I need to look and see how it finished out from there, because Zubia cleanup, DJ Petrinski, I think at first base to open up the season, and because he'd normally be the catcher, but this shoulder deal it's still lingering, and for the first time, David Pearce actually used the word concern. As it relates to just this, he described it as a dull pain that's just kind of been there, and it really hasn't gone away. And it's not a severe pain because he can still hit and hit well. He swung the bat well all fall, and he swung it well again during the preseason. And he could obviously throw enough to handle first base in terms of, you know, a position that doesn't require you to throw a ton, but there are going to be plays that have to be made when you do have to come off the bag in either in bunt coverage or something like that and make a throw. So it's not a significant injury, but it's just, you know, he didn't catch in the alumni game and he didn't really catch much in the fall and he hasn't really caught much in the preseason. So that's going to be something to follow. But Texas needs his bat in the lineup, especially against left-handers. So I think you're going to see Petrinski at first base. I do think first base, and from the way Pierce talked about it, on Thursday, I do think that position could be a little bit of a revolving door, especially if Petrinski's shoulder gets to a point to where he's going to start catching a lot. And really, I make it sound like he's not going to catch at all. I'm not sure, but the way Pearce described it is that McCann was going to do a lot of the catching right now, which tells me that he's probably going to catch probably a lot of games early on, probably even all three games this weekend as they really try to get that shoulder for Petrinski back to 100%. So there's going to be a point in time where he should be back and should be catching a lot. But until then, I think he's going to be at first base a lot because clearly Pearce doesn't want to play Zubia there defensively, but you need Zubia's bat in the lineup. They need that power presence and that on-base percentage. Remember, Zubia got on base 41 straight times to start his career or his redshirt freshman season last year. They need that presence in the middle of the lineup. They also need Petrinsky's bat in the order somewhere, and first base is the only place to put him. But from hearing Pierce talk, that position still could be one that changes some throughout the beginning part of the season. Remember, Texas didn't really discover Jake McKenzie until it put him over there, and he wasn't really hitting, but he was playing good defense, and Texas kept winning games. So it was just like, all right, we're going to roll with this. And McKenzie emerged as, you know, one of the leaders of that team and actually a really steady presence defensively over there that helps solidify that infield. So I think that there's going to be a lot of guys over there getting looks. Sam Bertelsen, Pierce mentioned him, is actually their best defensive player at first base. And we know he's got some big-time pop with his bat, but he's never proven in games that he can get that to translate. I think that eventually he's going to get a chance to show that this season, probably sooner than later. So he's going to be in the mix over there. Pierce again mentioned Tate Shaw. I don't see that being a fit, and I really feel like from hearing how Pierce describes Shaw, he describes him as one of the team's best ball players, and I know they like him, and I know they like the veteran presence and the hard-nosed approach and the competitiveness he brings, but I think that's just kind of forcing the issue over there. I really think they could get better production both with the glove and the bat from somebody else, but Pierce wants to play Shaw somehow. The problem is the outfield seems to be really locked in. Pierce on Thursday described Eric Kennedy as a guy he thinks he's going to have a breakout freshman season, and he thinks Austin Todd is going to have a season that reminds everybody why Texas thought going into last season he was going to be its best hitter. And we know Duke Ellis is very, very likely to be the everyday guy in center field. So there's not a lot of options in the outfield, although I do think that you'll see, you know, an occasional game here or there where they'll rest a guy or maybe get maybe if they're facing a really, really, really tough lefty, they'll maybe get another right-handed bat in there like Cam Fields. Or if they're facing a really, really, really tough righty, they might get a Tate Shaw in there as opposed to an Austin Todd. So, but the outfield feels pretty solidified. But, you know, Pierce really likes Shaw. He knows he needs Petrinsky in the lineup, though. And then there's Bertelsen out there that's kind of intriguing from the sense of you've got to put him in there at some point to see if he can get those tools to show in the game. So after Petrinsky, who I think is going to hit fifth and play first, Mason Hibler at second, Ryan Reynolds at third, Michael McCann catching, and then freshman Bryce Reagan at shortstop. Again, Pierce made it pretty clear that it's going to be Reagan's. Sorry, my grandma's calling me, and I literally just hit the damn microphone. I'll have to call you back, Grandma. I'm sorry. It's going to be Reagan's job. And I think the logic for this from Texas' standpoint makes a lot of sense. It's better to give him just a position and say, we're going to play you here. You focus on this. We're going to let you grow into this position. You're learning, you know, the defensive calls for that position. You know, although if you're a shortstop, you should know a lot of them. But really, you can focus on the responsibilities of that position. You can focus on taking ground balls every day at that position. You can focus on getting a lot of experience at just one position as opposed to maybe moving around. And I think that's a smart thing to do. And, you know, there's going to be some bumps in the road for Bryce Reagan, undoubtedly. Even the best freshman shortstops do struggle. But I think Texas is viewing this from the standpoint of we don't need a superstar at that position. We don't need a star at that position. We don't need an all-conference guy at that position. We just need some sort of consistent presence in terms of making the routine play and providing something in the batter's box. And I think Reagan can give them that. It seems like Texas thinks that he can give them that. And really, just it really seems committed to allowing him to play that position every day or almost every day and grow into it. Whereas Mason Hibler, a guy that will get a lot of time early on, I think, at second base. I think that's his job right now. But he's also somebody, because he's so versatile, could move across the diamond different places. So if, you know, somebody gets injured in the outfield, he can go in the outfield. Or, you know, maybe Reagan really, really, really struggles. They just got to get him out of there. Well, you can move, you know, Hibler wouldn't have a problem going to shortstop. Or, you know, maybe something happens at third base. Or maybe they just decide, hey, you know what, we need Lance Ford in the lineup against righties. Let's put Hibler at first base in those situations. So his versatility could play at a lot of places, although I think he's the everyday second baseman. Whereas Reagan, you don't have that sort of option to move a freshman all over the diamond. I mean, you could, But it just doesn't set them up for that type of success, because they're trying to adjust to so many new things at this level that I think it's better to just say, hey, you focus on this. We're going to give you all the opportunities in the world to get your feet wet and figure this out and grow into the position. And I think that's the best way to do it. So that is the best educated guess about the lineup. We know the rotation. The Texas Baseball Twitter account recently tweeted out the rotation. I talked on the last Extra Bases podcast about Bryce Elder. He's going to be your opening day starter on Friday. Saturday, it'll be Blair Henley. Not really surprised. Sunday will be freshman Coy Cobb. And I thought it was going to be one of those freshmen, or it was going to be redshirt freshman Cole Quintanilla. Cobb's stuff is big time. I mentioned him during some of the fall podcasts, fall Extra Bases podcasts, after seeing him throw some during that fall offseason. Fastball was up to 95 then. So there's definitely some big-time velocity in the tank. The changeup is a weapon. He'll throw it to both righties and lefties. It's a plus pitch. It can really generate some ugly swings and misses. That is his strikeout weapon. The slider is coming on. I'd say it kind of bounces between below average, average, and above average right now. There'll be some times when he really has the fuel for it, and it's good, and it's a weapon. There'll be other times it just it's not really a very usable pitch, although you got to kind of throw it enough to keep guys honest off of the changeup and the fastball. But really with him, I think it's not a matter of stuff at all. The stuff is good. This stuff is the kind of stuff with that body. I think he's listed at 6'4". It's a guy that's a candidate to be a first-round type pick when he leaves as a junior. I mean, he's that talented. So stuff isn't an issue. The issue with him, I think, will be controlling his effort on the mound. I think that he gets a little excited. He's got some effort into his delivery. He's got long arms, long limbs. He gets pretty good extension out there, but he can put some effort with all those moving parts. So you wonder how long he can pitch into games, and you wonder about the strike throwing ability for a guy that's a freshman and has those kinds of moving parts in the delivery, and that's getting adjusted to executing pitches at this level. But he's a guy that arrived with a lot of hype. He's clearly impressed Texas during the offseason and during this preseason, and he's going to get the start on Sunday. But I definitely think that the way to look at that will be kind of like a tandem starting role, where they might enter that game, you know, based on what happens with pitch usage on Friday and Saturday. They're probably going to enter that game with a guy in mind to say, okay, we think that Coy's going to give us 4 good innings. We don't know if he's going to give us 5 or 6. And just have somebody ready to step in there as another tandem starter that can give you potentially 4 innings, you know, and then you just kind of hand it off to the back end to end the game. And, you know, that's something I talked about on a, you know, recent podcast, and I wrote a big long story. It's actually free if you're not an Orange Woods member, which if you're not an Orange Woods member, come on, man, join, get on board. But there's, I kind of broke down what I think their pitching plan could look like potentially. And I think that they'll treat that as sort of a tandem starter thing. But you know what? They might treat Blair Henley like that as well. They might treat Bryce Elder like that as well. They have so much depth, and they want to get these guys in there early in the season just to see what they have, and then really, you know, let those guys kind of pitch their way into their own roles. You know, Bryce Elder is going to be given chances early on to really establish himself as the opening, as the Friday night guy. Blair Henley is going to get a chance to claim his rotation spot. Coy Cobb is going to get a chance to claim his rotation spot. But they're going to use a lot of pitchers, and they need to. They need to. They not only do they have quality depth and stuff and things like that, but they're going to play a lot of games early on this season. A lot of games. There's going to be some weeks when they're playing 5 games. And, you know, whether that's 3 on a weekend and 2 during the week, or 4 on a weekend with a doubleheader on Saturday and then another game in the midweek. They're going to play a lot of baseball, so they need a lot of arms to be ready. Again, you're listening to the Extra Bases podcast on theyak.com. I'm Dustin McComas of OrangeBloods.com, and we're just going through kind of rapid fire here. Baseball season is here. Going through your verbal season preview about the Longhorns. I've mentioned a lot of these guys already. I don't think there's really, at this point, many surprises about what the lineup's probably going to look like. I do think, though, like the pitchers, I do think that there are a handful of guys hitting-wise that they want to see in there early on, just to see, you know, is this a guy that we need to have in the lineup every day? But I do think that they have a good grasp of this potential starting group and what it can provide, especially in the outfield. That's a group that David Pierce is really, really excited about. And speaking of him, I think he really likes this group. I do think, and he mentioned this again on Thursday, you know, it's going to come down to our talent versus their talent and then the clutch hitter, the clutch pitcher, the clutch play. So from that standpoint, that's the second time he's mentioned that, and I kind of wonder, he knows there's no Cody Clemens in that lineup every day. There's no big-time top hitting prospect, at least right now. But I think that he really likes the maturity of those position players, the experience that he has there, and the potential for the lineup to be better 1-9 than it was last season. As awesome as Cody Clemens was, and David Hamilton had a good year, and Zubia got on base a ton and drove in runs and that sort of thing, the bottom trio of the lineup at times was a bunch of outs. It was, you know, if Texas didn't do damage at the top in the middle of the order, it wasn't really going to get much done. So I think that they have a potential to have maybe a more balanced, deeper lineup, especially now that a lot of those JUCO guys that were, you know, first-year players last year have a full year under their belt. Zach Zubia's got a full year of experience at this level. There's just going to be a lot more experience in that lineup. So I think that maturity is going to show. But Texas, I mentioned Bertelsen. There's going to be some guys that they want to get in there and get looks at and see, you know, is this a guy that is his talent showing enough to where we've got to keep him in the lineup every day? So from a character standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, I mean, Pierce described this group as a bunch of guys that are lead by example guys. He mentioned Mason Hibler as being a vocal guy that's unafraid to tell people when stuff can't fly, like, hey, we don't roll like that. So they do have some of that presence, but I think he really likes just the way these guys go about their work and their business and how they compete on the field, whether it's in the batter's box defensively or on the mound. And, you know, I think the one thing that does concern him is just the inexperience factor, especially as it relates to pitching. You know, I think he knows that with the pitching, the talent is definitely there, but can it show enough in terms of strike throwing and things like that? Is that inexperience going to be an issue often in games? Is it going to be an issue sometimes in games? Or is it going to be an issue only occasionally in games? If it's only going to be an issue occasionally in games and that talent really shows, I think this team's capable of doing what it did last year. But, you know, if that non-conference schedule chews up and spits some guys out and you get to a really tough Big 12 and you're not really finding your footing until, you know, towards the end, that could create a different type of season. So I think he does really like the mental makeup of this group, which is with so much of the battle, because any baseball season is going to have a bunch of ups and downs. I mean, remember last year, Texas was 9-9 after getting absolutely smoked in two midweek games at Arkansas. And they came together as a group and say, you know what? We're tired of losing. We're going to do what it takes to win. Roles started being more defined. You saw some guys kind of that were shuffling around, find their spot. You saw some pitchers kind of realize who they were on the mound. You saw the bullpen start to take shape, and then you really started to see Texas take off from there. So I don't think that is going to be too different from the type of thing we could see with this group this season. I mean, and just in a different way. You know, it's one thing to have guys like Parker Joe Robinson, you know, a guy that Pierce admitted, like, when he arrived, he's like, I need to find a way to cut this guy. He's not going to be able to contribute at this level. And then they change his arm slot and all those things, and he ended up being one of their most reliable relievers last season. So it'll look different from that standpoint, in that these guys that could emerge are going to be mostly big-time guys in terms of talent. But I think that just the trajectory of the season and the ride it goes on with the ups and downs might be similar to the approach that this Texas team has. And that's something that Pierce mentioned is, yeah, we want to win right away, but we also don't want to play our best baseball of the season in game one or game two. You know, we want to be peaking at the right time. So I think that they know that this group is going to require some patience, is going to need some time to figure out in terms of roles, who fits where, and all those things. But, you know, he talked up the mental makeup of last year's group a lot. And I didn't know if, because I hadn't really covered him that much, I didn't know if that was coach speak or if, you know, he was he was telling us for good reason, you know, what was going to happen. It turned out to be the latter. I mean, he was really, really high on that group. And it turned out being a group that mentally really just found ways to win a lot of baseball games during the season. So we'll see, you know, if this group has that kind of mental fortitude and things like that. Because this schedule is really, really going to test, really going to test Texas, both in the non-conference and the conference schedule. So episode 26 of the Extra Bases Podcast on theyak.com. I'm Dustin McComas of OrangeBloods.com. The Longhorns will open the 2019 baseball season tonight in Lafayette against Louisiana. Three-game set there. Then they will turn around and play in Houston against Rice at Reckling Park in a road midweek game before they come back home and then host, I believe, Purdue for a four-game series at home. Purdue, a team that made the NCAA tournament out of the Big Ten last year. So that I think that was a four-game set with a doubleheader on Saturday. So bam, 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 it comes quick. You know, in just a matter of, you know, what, less than 2 weeks, Texas will, I mean, really in a week, Texas is going to play all these games. We're going to have all these data points to see, you know, who's doing what, who could fit where in all those conversation topics. So I mentioned the starting rotation. We know what that is. We don't know what the stopper role is. And David Pierce and his staff, they don't have a closer in the traditional sense. So what they call it is a stopper. And that is basically their best reliever or their best two relievers that they want to try to use in the most important situations of the game. Although I think human nature for coaches often dictates that they'll try to hold those guys. But they do want to use their best relievers in the key moments. So you know, he mentioned a couple guys in the back end, potentially Cam Fields. I know that doesn't surprise anybody, although he also mentioned that Fields is in the mix as a fourth and fifth outfielder. He continues to swing the bat well, and he has a much better feel for managing how to balance being a pitcher and also a position player as well. But I really like the idea of him being one of those potential stoppers just because of the stuff, the mental makeup on the mound. And those sorts of things. So Pierce mentioned him. He mentioned Quintanilla is a guy that could potentially be a back-end guy or bounce between that back-end guy or that tandem starter or starter type of role. He also mentioned Mason Bryant. Kind of surprised me a little bit because I don't know if he's the best strike thrower right now, but man, is his stuff lively. He's just one of those guys that can pitch you out of jams. You know, his stuff is so good, he could come in when you've got a second and third and one out and strike out the next two guys. Of course, he could walk the next two guys, but the stuff is so, so good at times. I mean, I saw his cutter up to 95 miles an hour. I mean, nothing he throws is straight. So he's a guy that he mentioned back there as well. And then Donnie Diaz, who made his first scrimmage appearance this week. You know, Texas Baseball account tweeted out a photo of him on the mound in scrimmage play. And David Pierce said, you know, he seemingly kept having these little setbacks coming from Tommy John surgery, but they felt like they're getting closer to getting him on the mound in a scrimmage. And man, Pierce had a very, very glowing review about Donnie Diaz. He said he knows that the velocity is not where it was in the past before the injury, but Diaz told him, like, look, I know I'm not throwing as hard as I did before the injury. It's going to come back. But I can get outs right now. And I think David Pierce was really impressed with just his presence and also the way he's really gone about his rehab process and really handled these setbacks. It sounds like a guy that is really, really respected by teammates. And this stuff is good. I mean, Pierce mentioned that he's a four-pitch guy. And when he came out of San Jacinto, I mean, I talked to a couple of scouts. I thought he had, among relievers that were draft eligible in the region, in the South Texas region, that he had one of the best breaking balls among any of them. So this is a guy that if they can get him back to just 90% of what he was before Tommy John surgery, it's a huge weapon in the back end of the game. So Pierce mentioned that it's unlikely to see him this weekend. He mentioned a possibility of Sunday. I'd be surprised if he pitches at all. I mean, we're basically talking about a guy that's thrown in one scrimmage this preseason. I don't think it'd be very smart to throw him out there immediately unless it's one of those situations where, you know, Texas is either way up or way behind and you just want to get him out there and get him some game experience and get his feet wet. Otherwise, I think that they're going to slow play it with him and not rush him back because he could be such a big piece of that bullpen. You add a healthy and effective Donnie Diaz to that bullpen, it really changes the makeup of that bullpen. It really changes what they could do in the back end of games. It makes it deeper and it makes it more talented. So I think that based on the way Pierce described Diaz on Thursday, I think Texas fans should be excited about the idea of him joining the mix sooner than later. So in terms of predictions, I've really bounced back and forth a lot with what I think of this group. And a lot of it kind of has to deal with the schedule as well. It's a really tough schedule, both non-conference and Big 12. I've mentioned it before. I think it has a chance to be the toughest schedule in the country. I mean, it's really tough. You know, there's some tough road trips. There's some tough home series. There's tough games early. There's tough games middle. There's tough games late. I do think there's a little stretch in the Big 12 play where it sets up nicely for them to potentially make a run and string together some wins, but it's a tough schedule. Although when I left the alumni game, I liked that group in person more than I thought I would. You know, and I saw them a lot in the fall, but I hadn't seen them in the preseason until then. And I liked the group a lot more than I thought I would. And maybe a big reason that was Austin Todd. Austin Todd, to me, really has the chance to be an all-conference type player this season. He can hit for average. He's got some power. He can, you know, steal you back. He can run. He can play defense at a pretty high level. He can throw at a high level. And he really brings this sort of edge to him, this sort of really hyper-competitiveness, you know, that every battle for him is a fight when he's out there, you know, clinching the fist type of guy. And he was, you know, he was good in the alumni game. Kennedy, again, was really good when I saw him. I liked what I saw at Bryce Reagan at shortstop. He looked better than he did in the fall. I liked what I saw at Mason Hibler at second base. I think the outfield has a chance to be good. I think Zubia has got a chance to be better. I think first base can figure itself out. So I liked these position players more than I thought I would. I mean, Ryan Reynolds is in really, really good shape. It seems like he's not only lost weight, but has a lot more leaner muscle. He's really matured in terms of his body. He's a guy that Pierce praised a lot in the offseason for the way he went about his rehab and just his change in mental approach to the game of baseball. So I like the position players more than I thought I would. And you don't really have to convince me much about the talent with the pitching. There is a lot of guys with some big-time stuff that showed in the fall. But I really wonder how many of those guys are going to be able to consistently execute and throw strikes. But then I keep going back to this idea of they have so many arms that if they manage them the right way, which I believe that they're going to, I have no reason to believe they're not. If they manage those arms the right way, you've got so many of them that you don't have to leave a guy out there for four innings and just wear it. Or you don't have to, if you see something in delivery or the presence on the mound after a couple of batters and you want to be super aggressive and get a guy out of there, you can do it. You can do it because you've got 8, 9, 10 arms in the bullpen that could realistically step out there on the mound and strike a guy out. I mean, that's what kind of stuff they have in the bullpen. But it really comes down to consistently executing and adjusting at this level for those young players. And the starting group too, I think that Bryce Elder being the Friday guy is a great thing for Texas because when I've seen him in the fall in the preseason, when I've seen Blair Henley in the fall in the preseason, Bryce Elder has been the better pitcher every single time. He's been the better strike thrower. He's had better stuff. He's executed better. He's had a better presence about him on the mound. So I think it's very encouraging for Texas that Elder was rewarded for his pitching by giving an opportunity to pitch his way into being the Friday night guy. And I still have concerns about Henley, just the fastball and executing and things like that. But I just don't get the impression that David Pierce is going to be passive with this group, that he's not going to be proactive. I could see him being a little bit more proactive as it turns to reactive. And when it maybe if he is reacting to certain things, he's going to react very, very quickly because they just have so many options. And they seem so open to the idea of maximizing those options with maybe it's a bunch of short outings or maybe it's, you know, using a guy in different roles or, you know, in just this lack of hesitancy in terms of throwing freshmen out there to pitch. They have a bunch of inexperienced guys. They can't escape that. But it doesn't sound like they're going to be fearful of it. They're going to manage it. And I think that that's the best way to do it is to really utilize that depth to your advantage. And then when you get to Big 12 play or in the middle of Big 12 play, those freshmen, a lot of them won't be freshmen anymore. They'll be seasoned players or at least semi-seasoned players. They'll be sophomores for all intents and purposes. Because of the experience they have and because a lot of these freshmen now arrive more mature and more ready to contribute at this level than they did 10 or 15 years ago. So I think this team has a chance to win the Big 12, which no team that's ever won the Big 12 regular season has not hosted a regional. So especially in this next year's Big 12, if you win the Big 12, a Big 12 that's got five or six preseason top 25 teams, if you win that league, you better host a regional just because it means you have beaten a lot of good teams throughout conference play. So I do think this team has a chance like last year's team to start peaking at the right time. But I do have a lot of concerns about their inexperience, you know, how those young arms adjust to all these roles. And plus, you know, I know that Pierce is very, very high on the mental makeup of this group, but I want to see the leadership aspect happen as well. I mean, Cody Clemens carried that group so much, man. He you could tell the team just really, he radiated so much confidence that just infected the rest of that roster. So I want to see if now that the JUCO guys like Hibbler and Ellis and Petrinski have a full season under the belt, and then you got, you know, guys like Zubia and players like that that have a bunch of experience. I want to see if that leadership, and even Austin Todd's been around the program a long time. Ryan Reynolds been around the program a long time, although I think he needs to experience success in order for that leadership to show. So I just have to see that in action before I'm ready to go all in on this group as somebody that's capable of making a repeat trip to Omaha. They have the talent. I think that they have the pieces, although many of them are very young and inexperienced. So I think that where I am with this group right now is a similar type of regular season to what David Pierce had his first year, which was he really maximized that group. They were kind of at the end, they were kind of a fringe hosting team. I think you can make a case back then that they could have hosted potentially, but they were just in that next tier below beyond the hosts. And then they had a chance to win a regional. You know, they really, I mean, quite honestly, they should have beaten Long Beach State and hosted a super regional. So I think that that's the type of season this Texas team will have. It's going to be a roller coaster for much of the year against a really, really tough schedule with a bunch of young, inexperienced players. But in the end, I think that as they maximize this group and guys start settling in, I think you'll start seeing Texas play some of its best baseball towards the middle and back end of the Big 12. And I think they'll be right on that cusp as a pretty strong to strong at large team, or maybe a potential host if they don't win the Big 12. So that's where I'm at with them. Don't shoot the messenger if I'm not predicting a repeat trip to Omaha, which, by the way, I didn't predict one last year. And I'm still amazed at what they did with that group, maximizing that group and getting the most of it. And then just catching the perfect storm with Cody Clemens having the season he had. So it's going to be an exciting season, though. I think Texas fans should really be excited about just all the new guys and just the bright future that this program has. And that, you know, Pierce mentioned it on Thursday. A lot of these older players are passing down to these younger guys. This is how we do things at Texas. This is how we go about our work. This is how we act. This is how we interact with each other. And this is how we win baseball games. And that's really what you want to see happen if you're a Texas fan, is that established culture being passed down to these next group of players who are big, big, big time on talent. I mean, David, I'll leave you with this nugget before we wrap up this edition of the Extra Bases podcast. David Pierce said that this of the freshman arms that he has, it's the best group that he signed. Now, it's not better. You know, he mentioned when he was at Rice and they had Wayne Townsend, Philip Niemann, Jeff Niemann and Philip Umber, who went all in the top 10 overall picks of the Major League Draft. So he's not calling these dudes that, you know. But he said of the freshmen, of any freshman group that he's had, this one is the best. So we'll get to see a lot of those freshman arms in action, and I'm very, very excited about that. So with that, we will wrap up the season preview edition of the Extra Bases Podcast on theyak.com. I am Dustin McComas of OrangeWebs.com. I hope you are as excited as I am that baseball season is here. Texas baseball, man, from my perspective, is such a fun beat to cover. Very, very passionate fan base, but a very good group to cover in terms of, you know, access and interaction with coaches and players and things like that. And it's, you know, Dish Fog Field really got that magic back again last season. So I think that the home atmospheres have a chance to be really, really good again as well, especially with all these big name programs coming to Dish Fog this year. So with that, we'll wrap it up. Thank you for listening. Get to theyak.com/Austin. Take advantage of all of the great podcast talent. Well, we do have a lot of talent, but content as well. Talented people making a bunch of content is a good recipe for anybody that subscribes to a podcast website. So get to theyak.com/Austin and check out all that great podcast content that's out there. And when I talk to you next time, we will be talking about some actual Texas baseball games. And that is a great thing because baseball season is here. Have a great weekend. Thank you again for listening and take care.